Very often you bump into a sugya that becomes literally the springboard for so much of the Torah of that particular mesachta, that particular series of sugyas. And I don't think there's any question that the sugya that we bumped into were very much here, that's the sugya's Rabbi Sheila. Rabbi Sheila, we're not giving, the Gemara says, you're not supposed to say Shmuz Huna, Shmuz Aina, no, you're not supposed to show preference for sugyas. But between you and me, in terms of just, no pun intended, but the meat of the of Masechet Chulin, so as Rabbi Sheila very, very much touches upon just about anything and everything that we're going to be discussing in terms of sugyas related to Tarevis. We've already got a little bit of a taste of this last week, where we started to be introduced to some of the basic yesodes, things that we've spoke about a little bit in the past, but haven't really fine-tuned issues of shishim. We started to talk a little bit about different kinds of tarevis, what the role of shishim is, about the role of nesim tam. The sugya of Rabbi Sheila is going to become the springboard for a little bit later on also, for many, many, the yesodes of min b'mino is going to come back to us again, tam ki ikar is going to come back to us, and mamash in full force, like the she'en kamod, all the things that we've talked about, everything becomes almost encapsulated in these couple of lines. And similarly, another major, major topic in Hilchos Tarevis, which at first glance shouldn't even be related to the issue of Rabbi Sheila. So anything and everything that Rishonim have to say about this topic all revolves around 2-3 lines in the sugya of Rabbi Sheila, and that's the sugya or sugyos of Ein Mevatlis Lechatchila. Now we've been talking so much this year about the different notions of bitl, a bitl of arovs, a bitl of shishims, and their eyes, and their abundance, a bitl of mayim, a bitl of masayim, and I feel the elfo bottle, and anything, every other word out of a mouth this year has been bitl. But maybe we haven't made it clear that bittul is something that's not supposed to happen. We are not supposed to orchestrate bittul. Bittul is supposed to happen by itself. I mean, it's not supposed to happen by itself. If it happens, it should happen by itself. It's that person who made a mistake and goofed, or something fell in and wasn't paying attention, and then some tarovus developed. But we are not supposed to be mevatel things lechatchila. That is a beferish adin. It's a sugya in kama places called ein mevatlis lechatchila. It is first and foremost, it's a mishnah. It's an explicit mishnah, actually, not in chulin, but it's trumos. It's a sugya throughout Shas, the Masechus Beitz, Git, and other places. That's an absolute given. That you're not allowed to orchestrate, you're not allowed to create a situation, you're not allowed to take the attitude, well, I'm so smart, I learned chulin, I learned yirdei, I have smicha ready, and I know that I'm allowed a little bit of chazmir in my soup, so I'll just measure it really, really carefully before I get the shishim. So you're not allowed to do that. Aim about this. Although the din is clear, what is unclear is where is the source for that principle? Where is the source for that prohibition? Is that in Issa D'Oraisa? Is there something wrong min haTorah with Eim Avat L'Sachachila? Or maybe min haTorah is perfectly okay. You want to live your life and throw chazer into your pot, that's perfectly okay. Just be careful not to overdo it. You want to live your life and be mevatel chad betray. You have a piece of nevela, you want to be mevatel 2 pieces of shchuta. That's okay. That's fine. You can live your life min haTorah. Yes, Moshe Rabbeinu, you can do whatever you want min haTorah as long as you get the numbers right. But do I say no? Then maybe this is goof and this is deraisa. So it's unclear. It's aim about this lechil deraisa derabani. Where would you look? Where would you search to try to answer this question? You would probably look at the beginning of Masechet Beitza, where the Gemara talks a little bit about the rules of aim about lechilchila. Maybe you'd look at Yerushalmi and Trumas, where the Yerushalmi talks about it a little bit. Maybe you'd branch out and look at the fifth parak of Gittin, where it shows up kind of in passing. And you would look at any of those places, then you'd be completely disappointed because you would have absolutely no clue from any of those sources whether Eim Avat L'Chatchila is a deraisa derabanan. The only Gemara that may help you is, we built it up as what? Is, of course, Rabbi Sheila. Anything and everything we want to talk about, this is that topic for the next, not for the next week and a half, this is that topic for now till the end of January. I mean, it's a little bit misleading. If somebody who doesn't know the why is scheduled here, they think, wow, we're going to talk about this sugya for the next 8 weeks. We talk about it for a week and a half, then you're going to be on vacation for 6.5 weeks, and then we're going to hopefully come back to the next part of Rabbi Sheila. So that's just for the next week and a half or so. This is going to take up all of our energy. On the level of the Raisa or the Rabbanan. We broke it down into 2 sugyas because it was quite frankly getting too long. So instead of having an 8-day sugya, we broke it down to 2 4-day sugyas. So we'll have an Eim Avat L'Chatchila, the Raisa, the Rabbanan number 1. And then we'll have part 2, called Eim Avat L'Chatchila, deraisa by kachim and by truma, because there are certain dynamics of kachim and truma that are a little bit different than other areas, and both kachim and truma do interact in the sugya's rabbi shela. So first it'll be regular yoredeya, and then we'll move into make lumpur briskis or something. We're talking about kachim and trumas, and by the end of the next week and a half, hopefully we'll be able to answer unequivocally this question: that what's the answer to the question? And we're going to expect one word out of everybody, two words. What do you think of two words? It depends, right? That's going to be the ultimate answer to this question, okay? So without further ado, without further introduction, let's see if we can learn the Gemara. See what in the world, believe it or not, as much as we're going to spend the next week in here, the words don't even appear on the page. The Gemara doesn't even use those words. So how did this become such a major focal point of the sugya? Let's see what happens. So it all begins with the following challenge that the Gemara makes. The very premise of everything we've been talking about. We've been talking for the last week or so about Zera B'Sheila being the perfect model for Bittel Be... You fill the blank. Okay, good. If you would have said anything with certainty, I would have said you're wrong. Either Bittel B'Shishim or Bittel B'Meya. Now, how in the world did we even think, did we ever dream in our wildest dreams that this has anything to do with Bittel B'Shishim, Bittel B'Meya, which is primarily a sugya of Taham, which is primarily a sugya of Min B'She'eino Mino. After all, the pasuk itself was clearly talking about Min B'Mino. So we already had a major machlokes with Rishonim about that. That was already part of the previous sugyas. So Tosfos was so overwhelmed with this kasha that they concluded that the question is better than any answer, and therefore what? The Gemara never really meant it. The Gemara never meant this is not really a model for Min B'Shein HaMino. Can't be. It's impossible. This is Min B'Mino, which anyway we all know that Din is Min HaTorah. It's Bato B'Eh. It's Yeshua Chazara. It's Bato B'Rov. So obviously when the Gemara is talking about magic numbers of Shishim and Meya and extrapolating to cases of Min B'Shein HaMino, this is all Derech HaSmach. This is all Derech Rem. This is all Derech Derabonon. There's no real Derech playing out this entire sugi. That was the letdown of Tosis. We got a little bit disappointed because we thought we were dashing sukkim and we had svaras deraisas, and Taisa said the whole thing was all minatar, all the world of make believe. But notwithstanding Taisa, we did see some rishonim who took the Gemara much more at face value, led first and foremost by who? By Rashi, and then elaborated upon by the Chassam Sofer, and that's a lot we spoke about last week. But whether you take the Gemara literally as a deraisa, or you take it somehow, somewhere as a derabban or a derchasmachta, there are a lot of other factors that were unclear in the Gemara, namely the very number Shishim was unclear, and that's what we spoke a lot about yesterday. Whether the magic number really is Shishim, whether the magic number really is Meya, and that boiled down to one Nakuda. What was the basic of Nakuda? What you take on what is? What do you think in general about bones, right? What your view about Atzamasa, right? Do you think bones do count? They don't count? Do they count for you? Do they count against you? You Shami person, a Rosh person, a Rashi person, or somebody, right? Okay, that was all of yesterday's shit. So we know a lot about the model of Zera B'Sheila, and we know that Zera B'Sheila is going to be the source. I tried new markers. Okay, from now on, every time we have a bad one, let's... Okay. Not bad. Bring a few more. Okay. All right? I've got 40 markers in the office, but 38 of them don't work. I just all bought the Barov. I can never tell which one. Because I never bought throwing them out. I have this, I just feel it's like this. Because Rabbi Sheila, this sugya is definitely. Okay. So Zera B'Sheila is definitely pointing in the direction of some kind of a din of Bittel. And the one thing is crystal clear from the whole Yafus, again, either love the rice or love the rabbanon, is that we are willing to make that jump, that leap of faith from, don't say min b'mina b'mishinina right now, but what's the other leap of faith that we're talking about? When you read this Gemara the first time around, last week, did it concern you that the Gemara was learning from Nazir to Kol Torah Kula? Is that funny? Maybe. So the Gemara is assuming that Zera B'Sheila is not a prod, is not a detail, is not a chiddush. There's nothing unique here. We can't extrapolate from Zera B'Sheila to Kol Torah Kula. So we have no qualms talking about Chazir and Avelis and Ham and Treifa. We're using Zera B'Sheila, which is not really kashrus per se. It's just a question of kachim, but it's kachim that's also tezorim. So the Gemara has no problems extrapolating from a shayla of a tarevus of kochim to a shayla of tarevus of chaz and venel shayla dam chayla whatever you think the isser is. That wasn't the problem. The details of shishin versus meya, the details versus limbimim v'shein, those are all details that have to be ironed out. But the ikaron, we didn't have any problem with the jump, and that's where the sugi begins now. Because the Gemara says, wait a second, who said that that jump is correct in the first place? We actually have a braisa that seems to question that very jump. So comes the Gemara and says, "Umi afidin mina, do you have a right to derive from zera b'sheila? For hatani related to the braisa, zel heter haba mechlal iser, that zera b'sheila is unique. Zeh, that means zeh v'lo acher. Zera b'sheila is so unique. It's an unbelievable chiddush haTorah. It's a davar hamutter." It's something that really should have been osur. Based on all other rules, it should have been trif, should have been osur, and it's a chiddush haTorah that it's mutter. So by highlighting Zera b'sheila as zel heter v'machal iser, what the Brayis is really telling us is in effect saying that Zera b'sheila is not an example, not a model to be derived from, but rather Zera b'sheila is the exception to the rule. Zel heter v'machal iser, implying that all other parallel shailas would be problematic. So Gemara says, well, what does that mean? What does that phrase in the Braisa mean? So, my love, lemiute kol isurin shebatayra, doesn't that Braisa mean to say that Zera b'sheila is okay under these circumstances, but all other isurim in a parallel scenario would be problematic? What would that spell for us in terms of shishim? Let's leave out the mayor, just keep the shishim for now. What would that mean in terms of shishim? You wanted to bring me a raya that shisha must be mutter. You're learning out from Zera b'sheila, akula, shisha is gavaldik. Kosu, and she would tell you have shisha, you're good to go. Not so simple, not so poshut. Maybe even if you have shisha, what's the din? What's the din? Maybe it's a problem. Maybe it's a hanami. Maybe it's not a problem. You thought that, for the fact that the shisha here, the Torah says it's okay, zepman fandor, it's okay if this chaz and the veil is straight. How do you know? Vishnah, how do you know? If you really think that Zel had the Babachal Lisser, how do you know that we can extrapolate Zera b'sheila to everything else? That would undermine the entire Jerusha, the entire Limud, everything we've been trying to accomplish. So Gemara says no. Gemara says that's not true. That's not what the Braisa meant. What the Braisa meant is, Amr Abaye, Lo nitzucha el Reb Yehuda, Diyama min b'mina lo batil, Kamash v'lan d'acha batil. What the Braisa Zel had the Babachal Lisser means to say is, the magic number Shishim, in cases where shishim is appropriate, and this is going to get a little bit funny, but just bear with me. In cases where shishim is appropriate, namely, what kind of tarevus is shishim appropriate in? What kind of tarevus? What? Min b'sheinam, you know. That's the only thing that shishim really makes any sense is, as we all know. So in a case of min b'sheinam, you know, you can truly extrapolate from Zera b'sheinam. That's okay. That's not a problem. That's not a violation. So the Torah speaks about the magic of a shishim by Zera b'sheila. We can take that borrow and plug that into a tarevus of min b'sheinam mino, and that's okay. We have no qualms deriving from Zera b'sheila to all areas of halacha. So what did this cryptic braisa mean when the braisa said that zehu heter, zehu lemayit, that in another parallel case would be problematic? What is the parallel case that would be problematic? What's the answer? Because Zera b'sheila is not even min b'sheinam mino. What is Zera b'sheila? It's min b'mino. And in the worldview of which Heilig Tana, this is a huge problem. This is a tremendous chiddush. This defies Kol HaTorah Kula. Who is that? Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda is the author of the Braisa. Says the Bai. When the Braisa says Zel het Baba Chalisser, when the Braisa is highlighting that Zera b'sheila is unique, there's something special, and you cannot extrapolate to Kol HaTorah Kula. The Gemara only meant, the Braisa only meant, vis-a-vis the din of min b'mino, it's a gewaltig chiddush haTorah that min b'mino is taka bottom by Zera b'sheila. Unlike all areas of halacha, which is taka natural, al zedem of the Braisa, zel heta b'machalusa. Aber legavi the din of shishim, of min b'shem, which is our topic, no problems, no qualms, gesuntahei, compare, learn the Kol HaTorah Kula, we have no hesitation. So that's how the Gemara is sizing up. On the one hand, we're sticking to our Yafusa from Zera b'sheila. We like Zera b'sheila. It's very, very good. It's helpful. It is the source for shishim. On the other hand, the Braisa that says, Zehet, the Baruch HaLisser, is only talking within the worldview of Rabbi Yehuda. So far. But then the Gemara goes on to challenge the Brais itself. The Brais is telling us that Zeruah B'Sheila is a Gevaldik Yechidish, and you have no right to derive L'Kol Terekula. Ask Gemara, why not? Frankly, Gemara Kasha, V'Ligma Minei. Rather than saying that Zeruah B'Sheila is such a Chiddish, why don't we say that Zeruah B'Sheila is the model, and just as the Torah itself accepts Bittul B'Something by Min B'Mino, clearly, Lichten the Parsha of Zeruah B'Sheila is stating that Min B'Mino is taka not Bittul, means Min B'Mino is nitan to Bittul, because Harai, the Torah, is permitting Zeruah B'Sheila. It says the Gemara, turns the Gemara around and Rabbi Yehuda says, Rabbi Yehuda, how come you made up a concept called Min B'Mino in a Bittul? Doesn't Zeruah B'Sheila undermine that? Isn't Zeruah B'Sheila a mocker that Min B'Mino is taka Bittul? So what's the next line of the Gemara? What's the Gemara's response? The Rabbi Yehuda says, don't blame me. Don't pin the blame on me. I'm just simply quoting a pasuk from where? Rabbi Yehuda says, I didn't make up Min B'Mino Lo Bittul. Where did I get it from? Dama Parah Dama Sawyer. That's Rabbi Yehuda says. What do you mean, V'ligma Minei? Go lechamana v'lachma Dama Parah Dama Sawyer. The Trevai Badi Adadi Ninu V'lo Batlei. So let's just get our bearings here. With the Shachat, I have to know the Shachat. Every line the Gemara, Kedish Kadosh. We have to understand where the Gemara is coming from. So we have this funny braisa of Zeo Heta Babacholus, sir, which is not impacting on the Shir Shish and Mimish Enemino. We're good to go. We finished our sugi already. But we're still trying to understand the braisa. What's the Zeo Heter? So the line of Zeo Heter is telling me that even though it's Min B'Mino, and Min B'Mino really should have been Eino Batel, Kedish HaTor is that Itaka is Batel. So fact the Gemara, so why can't this be the source that Min B'Mino is Batel? And it's the Gemara, you can't do that because you have Damapar. So now, what do you have, Rabbi Yisai? You have a tug of war between two parshas in the Torah. This is Rabbi Yehuda speaking. The Rabbanan already left us. So he's over according to Rabbanan. Rabbi Yehuda is sitting in his bismedrash and now reading two different parshas in Chumash and walking away with two different conclusions. One pasuk Dama Par is teaching him that Min B'Mino is in a Batil. On the other hand, Rabbi Sheila is teaching him that Min B'Mino is Batil. So how did Rabbi Yehuda know which is the rule, which is the exception to the rule? How did Rabbi Yehuda dare to formulate his principle called Min B'Mino Eino Batel? The Hele Gitan Rabbi Yehuda, Hele Rabbi Yehuda, who said Min B'Mino Eino Batel. Think of all the rhymes in the Torah that are hinging upon this. Think of all the Rashi's himself hinging upon this. Think of so much that's hinging upon Rabbi Yehuda's statement. Min B'Mino, the standing by the Kaddish HaKadosh, Rabbi said, Kangolos just came out of Kaddish HaKadosh, he's about to sprinkle the dam onto the Mizbech, he's mixing the fire and the soil. Rabbi Yehuda's looking at him and saying, aha, Min B'Mino Eino Batel. And the Gemara says, no, it's not true. There's another pasuk by Karen. The other pasuk is Zeruah B'Sheila. And now Rabbi Yehuda is in a quandary. Which is the rule or which is the exception to the rule? There's a stira galuya between Dama Par and Zeruah B'Sheila. This says that Min B'Mino is Eino Batel, and this says Min B'Mino is Batel. Which is the rule or which is the exception to the rule? Now I ask you, when you were learning Chumash, when you were learning Parshas Achrimos, or when you were learning Parshas Noso, okay? Did you realize this stira? Did you anticipate this contradiction? Because you want to learn Chumash. We want to learn Chumash properly. If you learn Chumash through the eyes of the Hele Gitan of Rabbi Eloi, you would have noticed the stira. So how do you know which is the rule, which is the exception to the rule? Answers the Gemara, I'll tell you. It's very simple. Says the Gemara, no. You cannot possibly derive anything from Zeruah B'Sheila to anywhere else. You know why? Because Zeruah B'Sheila is an unbelievable chiddush. It's a huge chiddush, Zeruah B'Sheila. It's so mind-boggling chiddush. Therefore, it cannot serve as the source for anything. Now again, we don't know what that chiddush is yet, to be determined. But there's something wrong with Zeruah B'Sheila as serving as a mocker for anything. And therefore, it's the yaitzim in a klal. And the emes a klal, contributed is dam apar dam asar in a botel. We could breathe a sigh of relief. Okay, I'm going to cheat now and tell you what the Chiddush is. Who's going to tell me what the Chiddush is? What's the Chiddush about Zeruah B'Sheila? It's so Chiddush. It's so crazy about Zeruah B'Sheila. So Kumt Rashi on this pattern says, let me tell you what the Gevaldik, Meridik, unbelievable Chiddush in Zeruah B'Sheila is. Is that the Torah tells you to take that Zeruah, put it in the same pot with that aisle, turn on the fire, and heat any mucher and zoom on the shame, bittul Yisrael lechachila. The Torah is advocating, justifying, permitting, condoning, and requiring to be mevatel iser lechatchila. And that is unheard of in the regular world of halacha. That it's something that would never, ever be condoned normally, because every Tom, Dick, and Harry knows is a Mishnah Trumas that says, Ein v'vatla nislach achir, the Rashi Lom Shah in the Gemara. So since we all know that the starting point in halacha is Ein v'vatla nislach achir, and the Torah is sanctioning and permitting it here, Zem and Fendo, what do we see about the essence, about the nature of Zerub HaShela? From the fact that the Torah is permitting it, it shows that Zerub HaShela is a what? We need a magic word, four-letter word, it is a what? Is a chiddush. And what rule do we have? Mechiddush what? Lo gamrinan. Ad kan, the important part of the Gemara for our purposes. Whoa. Do we get our bearings here? Did everyone see what we're up to? We got sidetracked with this brisa that we can't derive things from Zerub HaShela. We weren't even sure what that meant, so we revamped it and said it must be, we stuck and we blamed it in Rabbi Yehuda, and we showed that Rabbi Yehuda holds that you can't derive from Zerub HaShela that there's a bit of bittul by Min B'Mino, and then we turned around and asked them, why not? Because Dhamma Park contradicts it. And how do you know which pasuk is the real one, which is the exception? It must be Zerub HaShela is the exception because it's a mechodesh. So the Gemara has just one small technical point to correct for us before we get to the thrust of Mesut. We're just reading Gemara today. What's the one small point? The Gemara is just guilty of overkill. What's the overkill? Once you tell me that Zerub HaShela is such a what? It's such a wild chiddush. So then, hey, wait a second. What are you guilty of now? Hakilim Shishim from Zerub HaShela. You just told me that Zerub HaShela is such a miracle, and you discovered a din of Eimavat Lechachil to highlight the chiddush characteristic of Zerub HaShela. In Cain, how does this whole sugya make any sense? Why are we spending 2 weeks and 8 weeks and 6 months learning the sugya of Zerub HaShela as the springboard for Kol HaTorah Kula if you just got finished telling me Mechiddush LaYafidin? So what did the Gemara finally answer, puts the issue at rest? What does the Gemara say? What? Comes the Gemara and says, what does it mean you can't derive from Zerub HaShela? That means you can't derive what from Zerub HaShela? You can't derive kulas from Zerub HaShela, because Zerub HaShela is very calm. Zerub HaShela has chidushim l'kula, a chidush l'kula. What's the chidush l'kula? That you can be without me surah l'chila. Therefore, all chidushim l'kula are off limits. What would be an example of a chidush l'kula that would have potentially been derived from Zerub HaShela that has been disqualified? I thought that you could derive that min b'mino this bittul. That's what I wanted to learn from Zerub HaShela. So the Gemara said that Yalfusa is disqualified because Zerub HaShela is too many chidushim l'kula. And if it's chidushim l'kula, that shows that you can't extrapolate kulas. The din of shishim that we are in fact learning from Zerub HaShela, is that a kula? Is that a chumra? What does the Gemara say? That's a huge chumra. You know why? Because without the pasuk of Zerub HaShela, what would I have said? A good old friend. What was a good old friend? Yeah, but the Barav, we would have fallen back on Parshas Mishpatim. I knew Parshas Mishpatim is going to come back at some point. We would have fell back on Parshas Mishpatim, but the Barav. So Zerub HaShela is a chumrah at a kula. It's a chumrah that Rov is not good enough. It's a kula that min b'mino there is bittul. So we are perfectly okay with deriving chumras from Zerub HaShela, but we don't, not particularly fond of deriving kulas from Zerub HaShela, because Zerub HaShela has that unique kula that made us scratch our heads 100 times called, hey, wait a second, isn't it a violation? That is the Shach of Tiring word. Very simple, straightforward Shach of Tiring, right? Everyone got it? Everyone got it? You have to read, a Gemara like this, you have to read 100 times over just to make sure you got all the moving pieces. But when all the dust settles, the Gemara has defended why Zerub HaShela can at the same time be derived from, and at the same time not be derived from. It's wearing two hats. It's wearing the hat of a chiddush and the hat of a yafusa. In one direction, it's the hat of a chiddush. In the other direction, it's the hat of a yafusa. Everything fits the mekumi of Rishalim. The Bryce is Rabbi Yehuda speaking. It's heta babachal lisser. There is a unique chiddush of bittul of, even though it's been Rimino, that's wonderful, great, and gevaldik. But what's ultimately preventing us from learning other kulas from Zerub HaShela is this one nekuda alone. The tremendous characteristic of kula that exists by Zerub HaShela, and Rashi highlighted for us what is that tremendous characteristic of kula? The principle of it's a gross violation of Eim Avatlas and Achila. That is the kula that's present in Zerub HaShela. I can't be a kula.
Doesn't the Gemara Kasha undermine Tosos, Etz, and Asnachta?
Wait.
Why does the Gemara need to say that? Why does Rashi need the Gemara to say in Balin Yisrael Chatchila is the Chiddush?
What other Kula? What other Kula is there?
Zero B'Sheva's Bata.
No, that's what we're trying to figure out. We're trying to figure out why can't we derive from Zero B'Sheva L'Kol Torah Kula? So the Torah presents one model of Tama Pari that Mimbevino is not Batel. Another model is Zero B'Sheva that Mimbevino is Batel. So we don't know which is the rule, which is accepted to the rule. So we have to try to put Zero B'Sheva into a category of Chiddush. To tell me that don't derive kulas from Zohar B'Sheila. So you have to go to an external din and find some other pre-existing din in Zohar B'Sheila that's bizarre, that's a kula, which is a chiddush, and that prevents me from drawing the chotar kula. So Zach points out a very, very, very strong point in Sugya. If I would ask you, just from after hearing this, this is uncharacteristic of us, we spent 20 minutes on the Shach HaVatar in the Gemara. There's a reason why we did it. First of all, Shach HaVatar in the Gemara, like 20 minutes. But does this sugya sound deraisa? Does this sugya sound derabanan to you? This is like, you can't get more deraisa than this. This is learning psukim, the matzino, the chiddush v'yalfina. Is this closer to this? We're highlighting chiddushim. This is like deraisa, and it's heart and soul. And the Balei HaTosfos are looking us straight in the face and saying, no, it's not. Come on, it's not. It's not really. There's nothing real deraisa here. Everything is all what? And this is Rabbanans here. The whole thing is Rabbanans. How come we can call it Rabbanans here? How you talking to Marcus? How can Taisa say such a thing? There's no deraisa on this page. Nothing. There's no deraisa on this page. Moshe Rabbeinu would cross out this Gemara. He'd take this Gemara and thought, this is not my Gemara. This is only the Rabbanan. The whole sukkah is only the Rabbanan. Is that true? Very, very hard to believe. Nope. Who's got an idea? Who's got an idea for me? I mean, we don't. We're trying to get the Gemara in. We don't want to throw the Gemara out too far. I mean, this part of the Gemara, Abai is still learning it within Rabbi Yehuda, but does that affect the issue? Mm-hmm. What Tosfos's big kaina was, what made the Sugya d'Rabbanan, was the jump to where?
Benjamin.
What was the leap of faith? To what?
Benjamin.
To Ben B'Sher Amina. Because Tosfos said, how in the world could you derive with the Raisa from the Amina to Ben B'Sher Amina? That's what Tosfos says is impossible to overcome. So I'm sorry for overcoming it, but Tosfos believed it was impossible to overcome. So forget that jump. That jump is Taka Derabbanan. Forget that jump. But with the Araisa, you still have a problem on your hands. What's the problem with the Araisa? Forget about the B'Sher Amina right now. What problem is still staring you in the face of Minhag Torah if you're a Rabbi Yehuda person? What dilemma do you have to face if you're Rabbi Yehuda, Midaraisa? You still have a steamer of Sukkim. Because if you're Rabbi Yehuda, and you want to tell me a story that Dava Par is the source for Midavino and Avotel, you have to explain away how could that be so? Doesn't Zro B'Sheila offset that? Doesn't Zro B'Sheila tell me that Mimimino is Taka sometimes Batel? That's a deraisadik contradiction. Whether you believe that you're going to make the bridge and jump over the leap of faith that Chassam Sofer to Mimimino Amino is irrelevant to that question. That is a deraisadik challenge that how do you learn Pshat and Chumash? I'm learning Parshas Achimos, and I'm learning Parshas Noso, and I'm getting two different answers from the Torah itself. What do I do with Mimimino? So you have to explain which is the real one and which is the exception to the rule. The only way to do that with the Raisa is to point to one of them being a Chiddush. Which one do you point to be a Chiddush? What's the answer? That Zohar B'Sheila is a Chiddush. And what characteristic is the Chiddush? What's the cool thing characteristic? That what? Valis L'Chachila, which puts you right back into the same position that Ein Valis L'Chachila, clear as day in our Sugya is a what? The Raisa D'Rabbanan. There is no question that Ein Valis L'Chachila is a Raisa D'Rabbanan principle. Because if it would only be a Derabbanic principle, that would be absurd to use that as the characteristic to define something as a Chiddush. Defining Zro B'Sheila as a Chiddush is a Deraisa Dikin necessity. We are bound in HaTorah to find something that is unique, something that's mechudesh l'kul about Rabbi Sheila. Otherwise, Rabbi Yehuda is out of business. So the only thing we have to pin some d'oraisa dika kula in Rabbi Sheila. And the only one that we have, the Gemara never tells us by the way what the kula is. The Gemara just says, it's a gevaldike chiddush. A mechiddush l'yafina. The Gemara doesn't tell us what it is, but Rashi does. And Rashi says, the chiddush is, eim of atlas l'chachila should have been a problem. That's tantamount to saying, eim of atlas l'chachila is a d'oraisa dika problem. So that's the idea from Rashi. So now when you read Tzadiches Mabez, you walk away with the following. I already asked you, bring me a raya brura to Arshav. How do we start Shia? We start Shia with this topic. We want to know. Has the Mishnah, we have a Mishnah in Maseches Trumas, we have Yerushalmi, we have a Gemara in Gittin, a Gemara in Beitzer, that talk about Eim Avat Lesel Chachila. We have Simon Tzadik Tesef Yerodei Eim Avat Lesel Chachila. I wanted one question. I just wanted to know, give me a raya, the raya, said the Rabbani. So the answer is, from the Shakla Vitayu in our Gemara, which is clearly a deraisa dika shakla v'tayim to some extent, whether entirely like Rashi the Chassam Sefer or to a limited scope like Tosfos, there was a deraisa dika discussion going on in our sugya, and on the level of deraisa, we are highlighting deraisa dika characteristics, and that the deraisa dika characteristic of the aim of Atlas Achila is being overridden. Zevin Fendo, aim of Atlas Achila is a deraisa dika problem. That's the raya. Who saw this raya clear as day? When you read the Gemara, who saw this raya purushin ala tshuva, that Eim Valach Chachila must be this deraisa, or else it wouldn't have posed as a chiddush? Who said this black on white? Rashi didn't comment on this topic. Rashi wasn't learning our sugya. Rashi was just saying taich in the Gemara. Which great Rishon was the first one to make this observation? The Ra in the name of who? The name of the Ravid. The Ravid, when he learned this Gemara, he said, oh, in this Gemara you see. Everyone saw that Ravid? Very state of in the Ravid. The Ravid set up a fairish. But Ravid's not cost to be some ashu shalom. The midikorle is Rabbi Shail Lachidish. Shmami no, the might be a midi invalidus lachidil de raisa. He was always taken Ravid. It was worth it to learn the Shakmatai and the Gemara for 45 minutes just to be able to chap around one deal for the Ravid. Rabbi said, what's the next bomb kasha now? You have to know the Shakmatai and the Gemara to appreciate the next kasha. The Ravid, and by extension Rashi, are guilty of overkill. Because once they've introduced as a hochacha into our Gemara, the aim of Atlas Lechachila is the Diaraisa, there's a glaring kasha in the Gemara. What's the glaring kasha? If you know Shakmatai in your sleep, not that you should be sleeping when doing Shakmatai, but you should know it in your sleep. How did this sugya start out? What was the first kasha in Agama? First thing we read today. So the last week and a half, we've been using Zohar B'Sheil as a model for Bito, and we've been extrapolating to call it Terakula. And what did the Gemara quote? A Bryce. What did the Bryce say? Vatanya. Zehu Hefter Habam Chalisser. The Bryce is focusing on there's something about Zohar B'Sheil that cannot be extrapolated. So the Gemara said, my love, Gitl B'Sheishim, doesn't the Bryce mean to undermine everything we've been doing? And the Gemara says, no, that's not what the Braisa meant. What did the Braisa mean? The Chiddush is Rabbi Sheila, Zel Het, the Rabbi Chalisser. That unique quality is not addressing the Shishim part. That's like Kol Tarkula. What was the Zel Het, the Rabbi Chalisser? What did the Gemara, who did the Gemara pin it on? Amar Abaye, El Nitzuch, El Wab, El Rabbi Yehuda. Do you like that Teretz? You're feeling comfortable with that Teretz? El Nitzuch, El Rabbi Yehuda. I mean, we love Rabbi Yehuda, but come on. I mean, you want to make a price and follow Rabbi Yehuda? I mean, come on, why don't we make it follow everybody? I have a better teretz than a bai. I'm smarter than a bai. What's my better teretz? I'm going to say taich to Rice. Zeh het abo mechalisa. You, give me a taich. Give me a taich. Yeah, the chiddush of the Bryce's observation of zeh het abo mechalisa, all it means is that gevaldige meudike chiddush of Rabbi Sheila that you're allowed to be mevatel lissel lechatchila, that, by the way, doesn't apply in Kol Tarkula. That's all the Braisa meant. Again, the Braisa never told you what the chiddush was. The Braisa just said, Zehu. Zehu means there's something here. We have to find the mysterious something. There is some statement in the Braisa, there is some Zehu. You have to find one thing that's different about Rabbi Sheila and Kol Tarkula, and then we're good to go with the Braisa, and we'll leave us alone with the Braisa, and we're good to continue back to regular sugyas. So Abaye went fishing, and Abaye sat. Again, we don't know how long it took Abaye to think about this, but he probably thought for a long, long time. It says, there's only one pshat in the Braise that's going to work. I mean, Abaye, Zel, Het, Abam, Chalissa, oh, leave it to Rabbi Yehuda. Alphabetic terrors. Simple terrors. Zel, Het, Abam, Chalissa means, Kol HaTor Kula, you're not allowed to be in Vatlas of Chila, but here you are. That's all the Braise meant. Did the Braise mean to undermine the ability to drive Shishim as Rabbi Shalom? What's the answer? No. The same way that according to Abaye's Teretz, the Braise is not undermining the ability to drive Shishim. The Gemara is just highlighting, the Braise is highlighting that one nuance of a difference. So I have a better nuance of a difference. Let the nuance be Legabi Bevatlas L'Chadchila. If Rashi and the Ravid are so smart that that's part of the Sugya, the Gemara never says the words in Bevatlas L'Chadchila here, but if that's part of the implication of the Sugya, let that be Pshan the Braise. Who has his cash? But say, this is Taisus' cash. Taisus learned the Gemara like Rashi, learned the Gemara like the Ravid, and Taisus fucked the cash. Wait a second. A little Taisus, five lines. Lav mutel kasinch b'tera v'im do my kusha to mahenu da'afku didn't shame v'alas rachila v'hakashari. That's what the Braisa meant. V'yesh lamis is Taisus. The lashon zeh ete b'machalisser mash b'chal dover ha'osel liachila. What does Taisus give? A very what? Not a very lomdisha teretz, a very what? Very linguistic teretz. A stylistic teretz. The word zehu, zel het abom chalisser, is a what, not a what? There's some brisket terminology on it. It's a what? Zel het abom chalisser. It's a cheftzeh. It's not a what? It's not a maisa. It's not addressing what you can or cannot do as a pu'ula, as an action. It's addressing, is this a cheftzeh hamutra, a cheftzeh aser? So it is the lashon of Braisa prevents us from saying Teich in the Braisa as referencing Eim Avat Lassal Chachila. Be Karon in terms of pure longness, we could have said that. That would have been a good statement. That would have been a true statement. Zel Het Abomachal Lusser. But the lashon of Braisa doesn't permit us to say it because the lashon of Braisa refers to a Cheftza. It's a Dovashal Cheftza that's Mutter that should have been a Cheftza Shal Lusser. And the Gemara thought, oh, that must be a riot that Shishim so good. And the Gemara says, no, I'm Rabbi Elin, it's okay, Allah. El Rabbi Yehuda, even though it's a minbamino and the chefta should have been aser, kamash one, the chefta's wilder. The lachish of the Kabbidus, I believe Taisus salvages Rashi and the Ravid. Aim about the Zachilas blighted, it is in the Araisa. It was, didn't qualify as Taich in the Braisa for pure technical, textual reasons. And we're good to go, the sig is perfect, reads mamish like a charm. Aim about the Zachilas, it is a government at Torah. As I state in Rashi, Ravid and Taisus, three Rishonim. However, comes the Ran and quotes another view in Rishonim. Happens to pin it on a who? On the Taisus, of course, it's not the Taisus that we just quoted. There's another lot of Taisus floating around. So the Taisus we don't have. So we'll call it the Taisus from the Ran, and we'll call it the Ran Sheet, whoever you want to call it, I don't care. But when I say Taisus from now on, you know I'm not talking about our Taisus. You don't talk about the Ran's Taisus. He says, no. There is no mention in the Gemara of Eim Avatlas L'Chadchila as being a deraisa. Notice, we read the whole Gemara inside out together. The words don't appear. Rashi and the Ravid and Taisus read it into the Gemara statement of what? Into Chiddushu. They were looking for the characteristic of Chiddush. That was the only one they came up with. You know what the Ran and Taisus, Taisus and the Ran say? You know what characteristic the Gemara was picking on? Not the din of Levatlanus HaKhli, but what? What is the unbelievable Chiddush that is so wild, that is so off the charts, that is so out of character in the Sugya's Rabbi Shela? That the Torah is telling the guy, go ahead, go be Levatlanus HaKhli. Take that aisle and cook it. And in case you thought, you know, in case you missed it, the trump is so, so long. Just to make sure you got it. You just gloss over it. Make sure you realize, do that mitzvah, put your gartel on, put your hat on, get ready to do the mitzvah. You got to do it with a bracha, with kavanah, with shem yichud. That's crazy. That's off the charts. How are you talking to workers? How can the Torah Kedesh tell me to do such a strange thing that it never tells me to do it anywhere else in Halacha? V'idah b'shem Moshe, let me take chazm and put it into a pot of soup. V'idah b'shem Moshe, take the veil and put it to your children. Lo shamanu davazdeni oyim the Torah should be mitzvah. You want to tell me the Torah permits it? Of shiyadinei, but to require it, it's crazy. So crazy is a bad word. I don't mean that. You know, I'm just getting overworked. What do I really mean? That's a lot. That's a chiddush. That's a chiddush you got to like jump out of your chair for. Yeah, that's like a half-baked chiddush. I mean, yeah, nice. You give your chavrus a pat on the back. Yeah, nice chiddush, nice pat on the back. This is like, what did you just say? This is a nuclear bomb here. But it's a mitzvah nevatah. This is a chachila. That's what the Gemara was jeopardizing on. That's pshat in the Gemara. What are we marviach with this pshat in the Gemara? What is the Rad and Tosis salvage with this pshat in the Gemara? So what prompted them to say this pshat? Because they didn't get stuck with Tosis Kasha. Tosis Kasha is, how come the Gemara didn't start out the sugya by saying, hey, you have a b'raisa, zel het davar b'chalisa. Ooh, we should have said the b'raisa means that you're allowed to be vatlus v'chil, we should not allow to do another resur. That's the b'raisa. Fret Tosis in the Rad and say, wait a second. If you're going to tell me that the Chiddush is Rabbi Sheila, is there a mitzvah to do it? This would have been a very, very necessary b'raisa. I'm saying that very sarcastically. A very necessary b'raisa. Tan Rabbanon, the Sanya, let the Tanoim speak their wisdom and tell us the following. This gewaltige mitzvah, levatalis lechatchila, that the Torah insists on doing, the Kedusha v'tahara in the parashas of Rabbi Sheila, that great mitzvah doesn't apply in your own kitchen for children. Wow, isn't that amazing? What would your reaction be? Something along the lines of my Hanalei Rabbanon. I need the rabbi to tell me. I need the rabbi to tell me that there's no mitzvah to take chaz and put into my shul. That's I need the breast. The Torah had nothing better to do with the time than to write breast. It's so silly to say that zel het the bangalis. Just know that you can't do this anywhere else. Don't make the mistake to think there's a mitzvah to do it anywhere else. So that's what the Ran and Tosis write. It's a joke. That's why the Gemara didn't say that taich in the breast. Because it would have made no sense. It would have been a completely silly b'raisa. Once we just changed what the chiddush was, the chiddush is not mutal of atalisar. That could have been negotiated by other isur. I would have needed a b'raisa to also them. Once you tell me that the chiddush is the mitzvah, so then, of course, that's not the subject of the b'raisa. So you can breathe a sigh of relief. These rishonim didn't fall back on the literary style of Tosis, the Rav and Rashi. They had a better pshat. Rabbi say, what's Yetzim and Advarim from the Shita now of Tosis of Duran? From the fact that the only Chiddush the Gemara could dig up and draw B'Sheila is the mitzvah Levatel, Zep and Fendo, what do you see from here? That Lehet Levatel is Nisht Chiddush. Why is it not a Chiddush? Why is it not a Chiddush? Because quite frankly, there's absolutely what? Nothing wrong with doing that. But all of these sermon, the love of their Isa. Because there is no such thing called Eim Avat Nesachachim B'der Haisa. That's the other sheet in Rishay. Now again, you read this Gemara. Everyone read this Gemara the first time around. Who here realized that there are two radically different ways to read what the Chiddush of the Gemara is? Is the Chiddush the Heter or is the Chiddush the Mitzvah? Everyone realized that those Rishon who read the Chiddush is the Heter have a lot of trouble with that Zeo Heter Lebalchal Isser Pasha and have to revamp like Tosis. Those Rishonim who learned the other pshat didn't have to revamp. So we had two different approaches to Rishonim, what the Chiddush was. But now, depending on what you think the Chiddush is in our Gemara, will lead you to two radically different conclusions about whether you think Eim Avat Nesachil is a Deraisa or Derabonin. If you go down the first group of Rishonim, Rashi and Aptesis and Deravid, then you must conclude that Eim Avat Nesachil is an Issa Gomer Min HaTorah in your regular kitchens. And if you hold like the Ran and the second Tosis, that the Gemara is not even talking about Eim Avat Nesachil because that's not even on the radar screen in HaTorah. That's a Raya Brewer that Eim Avat Nesachil is only Nisa Derabonin. That's the Chazir Rishon. I ask you a Bosei, who here saw that in the Shachatai of the Gemara? Who here read the Gemara? Okay, who here realized right away that those are the two sheep that emanate from this Gemara? Everyone got it? You figured it out before? Gavaldik. Okay, good. So it's easy. So we haven't said anything in Shir yet. We're just walking ourselves through. So Rabbi Say, once we come to the realization that this Gemara does not shed light on that topic because it can be read either way, what does this force us to do? Where do you go from here? This thing hasn't even started yet. So you have to start pressing the buttons and searching through Shas to find, well, where else do Chazal have what this Gemara is talking? I need a better Raya. If this Gemara can go either way, I need a better Raya. So if you were just thinking of Rayas, where would you go to? You'd look in Yushamis and Trumas, you'd go where? You'd go in Beitza, you'd go in Gittin, you'd look around, you know, a little tour through Shas, and you come up with absolutely Nothing. No writings whatsoever. So you have to piggyback on somebody who really knew Shas, someone who really had Kol Terkula at their fingertips, and can look at the Sugya in Chul Daf Tzedekes and realize that the answer to this question doesn't lie in any conventional Sugyas. Of course, the answer lies where? Obviously where? Here, in the Sugya of Tzipor Mitzvah. Where else would you expect the answer? I mean, you're learning a Sugya that emanates from Zerua B'Sheila and from Dama Par Dama Sohar. It's a pretty good guess that probably the answer is found in Tzipor Mitzvah. Of course, you had to be someone like the Nevi Yehuda to discover it and to realize it. Anyone figure it out? Put the Nevi Yehuda on Mamre Kavos? Everyone figure out what he's talking about? A little bit? Okay, let's see if we can read through, understand the Nevi Yehuda a little bit. So first we have to say what the Gemara says. The Gemara comments in Masechet Kedushin about two psukim. Two psukim of Parshas Re'eh. A lot of chumash there, guys. A lot of chumash there. Parshas Re'eh says, Kol tzipor ha'tarot techeva. You can eat all the kosher birds. And then the Torah says, V'zeh Hashem l'stoch v'yeh, but you can't eat the non-kosher birds. Now those psukim were a little bit startling because the Torah already told us that you can eat these birds, you can eat the other birds. So like, what's the chiddush? Every time I sit and eat a chicken and be yaitzed, the bits of the rice, the kotipot, the chiddush, well, what's the point? I don't eat the ostrich, I already know I can't eat an ostrich. I already know I can't eat a hoch, can't eat a bat, whatever, I know I can't eat those birds. So what is being added by these two psukim? One yeah, one no. So comes the Teshuva Pen and explains that these psukim are referencing very, very special birds, and again, a little more chumash, Parshas Mitzayra. In the beginning of Parshas Mitzvah, part of the process of Parshas Mitzvah is the mitzvah of the Shtei Tziporim. You have to come and take two birds, and a whole series of things you have to do. Who remembers? Who remembers what do you do with the birds? So one of them is called the Tzipar Shchuta, one is Shechter, Achli Cheres and Ma'an Chayim, and then he takes some of his blood, you sprinkle it on the guy, and the other one, Tzipor, Vishilach Tzipor, Tzichayop, and Esod. So there are two birds. So comes the Teshuva Pen and says, these two psukim are referring to those two birds. One is saying one is mutter, and one pasuk is saying one is aser. And we're just not sure what, which is which. So now we have to reconstruct, we have to figure out using the akkoiches of Teshuva Peh, we have to figure out using our havanas haTorah to figure out what was the kavanas haTorah in these two psukim. We know for a fact, alzeh nemar b'mesera kach kibalim b'mesera, that one pasuk is addressing one bird and one pasuk is addressing another bird, and we're not sure which is which. The Gemara Pilpul's and Kedushin back and forth, the final, as the Gemara conclude, it must be that Tzipor HaMeshulachas is the permissible one. If you eventually find it in Shechter, it must be the permissible one. There's no other way. You know why? What does the Gemara say? Because Lo Amra Teira, what? Shalach, what's that on the other comes? It is inconceivable the Torah would have given us such a strange din that to send away a bird, knowing full well that we're sending a non-kosher bird into the wild, that will never be discernible. No one will ever know. And someone's going to pick up this bird in 6 weeks from now and Shech didn't eat it. And what a gewaltig takola that's going to be. The Torah would have given us such a mitzvah. It's inconceivable the Torah would have said that. So it must be that the bird that's top off limits is the Tzipar Shchuta, which we know exactly what it is. We have a Shchuta. We can't eat it. We'll bury it. We'll get rid of it. We'll throw it in the garbage. We'll do it and finish. But the Meshulachas has to be Mutter, because otherwise, the other Shulachas Tekon. That's the underlying source. That's the Kaveya, what the Pshat and the Pasuk is. Well, I can just see the Beis Nagov sitting around in the Lishkas Agosis, and the Shah is coming up. We know one is also one's mutter, one's also one's mutter, which is which. Work. And finally, we come to the realization, it must be the Mishalachas is mutter, because otherwise it would have been a violation of a takol, it would have been a terrible mikshol for the entire world to have this bird flying around that's straight, but not Torah, and no one can tell. Nobody think a good misnagid has to say about this gemara. Maybe it was a very good misnagid. What do you think the Nehru has said about this? People read before the Nehru read it. Akasha, I think about. What do you mean, Lama Torah Shalach Tekona? Lama Torah Shalach Tekona is like a very like spiritually kind of thing. Like someone saying that, oh, it just can't be. Lo yitochein that the Rebbeinu Shlomo would tell us to send these treifas with the klipas, with maisalach, with birds flying around. What a terrible thing. There's going to be a yid, an alpha yid somewhere. It's going to, and Shlomo Kabach singing away in the guitar. There's going to be an alpha yid in there somewhere. It's going to be eating this bird. What a terrible, terrible thing. Ay, ay, ay. So I'll say, never remember to tell Shlomo Tekola. Nufazok today, Yehuda. Fuzfa Tekola. Fuzfa Tekola. Why not? When somebody comes and asks you, Rabbi, I just caught a bird. Do I have to be chayshish that it's from the Tzipor Mitzrayim? What's the answer? What's the answer? No, why not? Why not? Maybe it's Tzipor Mitzrayim. How do you know? How do you know it's not Tzipor Mitzrayim? What's the answer? It's Raif. Karam Lachis. Those birds are not Tzipor Mitzrayim floating around. So, what do you mean? What's going on? What do you mean? What's the color? What's the gefrelach at the color? What's the color? I'll send the bird out into the wild. And then next week, when somebody catches it and checks it and serves it for the Shabbos meal, what's that they call? Achiram Lahadis. You don't believe in Achiram Lahadis? You're Kaifer Matayra. You don't believe in Achiram Lahadis? So, what's the Allah Shalom Matayra Shalom Tekola? That's a Kasha. That's an Ed Yehudis Kasha. How can the Gemara be Mechiah from that Svar of Matayra Shalom Tekola? Zeman Fador, the bird is Mutter. No, not true. The bird is not also. If you know which bird it is, you tap the kid eat it. If you don't know, it's Mutter because it's Bottle Berayf. What's off the name Yehuda? What did Yehuda say to that Kasha? He says, you're right. The Gemara is not picking up on the heter or the isra of eating the bird when somebody traps a bird 6 months from now. The takala is not on the hefts of the bird. What's the takala on? The very act of letting this bird out into the wild, that goof is a takala. What's the takala? What gross violation are you in violation of? You're being violent, l'chachila. You're taking a treifa thing, assuming the fishy tussle, if you have a mini shulchan, that's wrong, that this bird is treif, and you're setting it off into the wild, knowing full well that the only matter now is going to be raiv. That's a gross violation of Eimer Batlas al-Khachila, and the Torah never would have set up such a scenario. From the fact that that's inconceivable, the Torah would have set that up, zeven for no, the bird must be kosher, as much. And the Yisra is tach on the shchita. That's the Davidus Taich in the Torah. Who here learned to set up Kedush and Eber? Did you ask this guy? Did you think it was time? That's how they're going to learn to learn the Kedushin, singing and saying, Kedushin to the eyes of Eimer Batlas. It says in Eimer that this Gemara spells trouble for Hefter Rishonim. This Gemara is great according to Rashi, great according to the Rav, great according to Tosfos and Rashi. You're terrible according to the other Tosfos in the Rav and the Rav himself. Because you have a Raya Brewer, Shenel HaTshuva, the Emel HaChidus, the Raisa. If the second group of Rishonim are right, in their presentation of Rabbi Shaila on Sadi Ches Mechulin, that Emel HaChidus is only a Dirabonon, then the Gemara's whole question, the whole statement on the Torah Shabbat would be a meaningless statement. So the Nebuta turns the tables on the other Rishonim for the Gemara of the Kedushin. It says in the Nebuta, the Valdik Yisayid, says the Nebuta, the Machlekes HaRishonim, whether the aim of Atlas Achir is the rise of the Rabbanon, is not an absolute machlokes. It's not an all or nothing machlokes. There are certain cases where everybody under the sun must concede that aim of Atlas Achir is a deraisa. It has to be that way, or else the Gemara Kedushim L'Hometosh Rabbanon is meaningless. So there's for sure deraisa of aim of Atlas Achir. The machlokes of Rishayim in our sugya is not if there's a Mevatlas Achir deraisa, but is Rabbi Shaila a good example of a deraisa that a problem with Eimer Batlas HaKhila? So everybody buys into to a certain degree Eimer Batlas HaKhila of deraisa. That's the Gemara Kedushin about Tzipor Mitzrayim. Even the Rishayim and Ashtigya who are veering away from Eimer Batlas HaKhila and deraisa are not veering away entirely, only sometimes. And now becomes the million-billion-dollar question, what is the difference between these two cases? According to the longest of the Nebuta, because the Nebuta is now setting up for us the following thing. We need a chiluk now. We need a very, very sharp chiluk between two cases. We need a case of Rabbi Shaila. We need a mark that works. We need Rabbi Shaila, which half the Rishonim are saying, Eim Vatlin, Lav, Deraisa. And we have Tzipor Mitzrayim. What everybody is saying is Ein Mevachlin Mederaisa, because that is the only pshat that everybody has to work with the B'Torah Shalach B'Kabbalah. What is the difference? Why is this Lav Deraisa? What is the difference between Zerah B'Sheila and Tzipor Mitzrayim? So this is one of our favorite kinds of questions. We have two things on the board that have to find a difference, and we have to find the difference that's what? That's relevant. If you're going to tell me some superficial difference, I'll tell you the difference. This is a bird, and this is an ayil. What am I going to say? I'm going to say, oh, this is Parsh, this is Sefer Vayikra, this is Sefer Bamidbar. Oh, that's the difference. What are you going to say? You say, this is a guy who has a Yetzirah for Lashon Hara, and this guy has a Yetzirah for a guy who likes to look at his nice hair in the mirror. What am I going to say about that? Irrelevant. I need a real difference that matters, that carries weight, to explain this phenomenon according to these Rishonim. Rashi tells him the Ravid are sitting here and saying, there's no difference. They're both the same. They're both examples, like I've been telling you all along, in Vatasla Deraisa. But within the other Taisus, within the Ran, that there is some kind of a nuanced difference, what is that nuanced difference? That becomes the question of the Sukkah. It took us an hour to get to that point. That is the difference we're searching for. Anyone got any ideas? Anyone said that you do?
Different forms of Bittul?
Oh, so let's hear it. What do you mean by that? We know enough about Bittul already to start to answer that question. Who's going to tell me? Who's going to fill in? Who's going to fill in the difference?
It's a lock case.
So says Zach, preceded by the Rebbe by 200 years, that here's the difference that really matters. One is a Yavish B'Yavish. The ultimate Yavish B'Yavish is birds. There are how many birds flying around the sky? 10 billion birds flying around the sky, and one of them never happens to be a what? One of them happens to be a Mishulach, according to the make-believe world that it would have been Asur. So that's a Yavish B'Yavish. So Rabbi Sheila is a lach balach. There's fire, there's a pot, there's oozing, there's gravy, stuff's moving around. It's lach balach. It's up to the Yehuda. On the level of the Araisa, the Hesper statement of the Yehuda, on the level of the Araisa, Eim Vatlas Achila plies by Yavish B'Yavish, but according to half the Rishon HaSugya, not by lach balach. That is the Chiluk. Now, Zach is correct. He identified the two different kinds of Taraimis, correct. But you have to do more than that, because you have to explain to me why is that true and relevant? Why is that an important characteristic? What does this seem to be expressing? It's an idea that we've almost bumped into already several times in the past. I told you there's going to be a springboard for a lot of things. I don't know whether I would have gone down the route of Tom Kiger, because let's not forget, there's no real Tom Kiger here. It's really what? I want to know on a level of the Araisa. This is a very, very serious question. It's a loaded point. On a level of the Araisa, there is something fundamentally wrong with invoking Bittul B'Yavish B'Yavish, and somehow that problem doesn't exist for Lach B'Lach. How would you begin to formulate that? Without any riots, just what would your Natiya be?
You still see it. It's still the A in one of them. The other one, you're just being the Bavel of Tom, which is not there anymore.
Okay, so you have to fall back on some kind of idea that we've already seen multiple times, that Lach B'Lach is almost like a better kind of a Bittul than Yavish B'Yavish. Who remembers the first time we saw that? Who remembers our first introduction to this year? A Lach B'Lach is a shtickl better. We've seen Steerers to this also, don't forget. But who was the first one to drive home this idea? A Lach B'Lach is just a nicer Bittul. It's a cleaner Bittul. Who remembers the first time we saw this? We saw it in the Ramah. The Chavetz. Remember Chavetz was Mashal? The Chavetz B'nei. Remember the Ramah was very comfortable saying, no Chavetz B'nei, b'lach b'lach, but Yavish B'Yavish, he got more nervous. Remember that? So that almost was the first time we bumped into this idea that lach b'lach is kind of a better bit, though, because what Shimon is kind of saying, and I don't want to put words in his mouth, I'm going to do it anyway. What Shimon is kind of saying, and he's going to regret that he said this, but I'm going to say it anyway, is that almost by lach b'lach, and please don't all jump at me when you say them against the Gemara B'Chayrus, but lach b'lach is almost like the Isura is command to what? Command to lace. It's almost like the Isura's not here. It's like the Isura's command, it's not really here. I mean, I can't find it anymore. It's gone. It's done. It's history. Yavish be yavish, I may be more prone to say almost like what's the opposite of commando leisa damikir. But I don't want you to get so stuck on those words, because those words are going to have multiple meanings for us down the year, down the two. But if I say, what Shimon is saying is l'chara correct, that intuitively we realize that lach b'lach is more of a bit in the sense that the Issa is not really here anymore. If the Issa is not here anymore, then I would be pretty comfortable in being mevala l'chachil. You know why? Because, Rabbi, what did I do? I took the dover also, but it's not also anymore. There's no one saying, what did I do wrong? Whereas by Yavish, B'Yavish, I took a Dover Aser, and what? It's blight Dover Aser, it's still a Dover Aser. It's just, Nebuch, I can't find it, and I have to get 10 billion birds, I don't know which, they all look the same to me, maybe to each other, they look different to me, they all look the same. And I basically orchestrated a situation, eating a Dover Aser. That's kind of what I did. I set the stage for doing Yisurim. Now again, I set the stage for doing Yisurim in a way that Lamaise said it's okay for me to do it, but Sof, I set the stage for doing the Dover Aser. Whereas Balach, once it's Batel, it's not the Dover Aser anymore. So what did I do wrong? So L'chora, that's the kernel of what the Navi is about to explain to us. Right? That's the direction we're going to go in. That's the reason why one, on a level of the Araisa, one results in being a problem, and one falls short of being a problem. And I can hear that spark, I can hear that lumpus. It makes a lot of sense.
Rabbi Chaim says that the whole din and the...
Wait. You're good. You're right on target for tomorrow, you're right. Hang in there. So, l'chari, that's the direction we have to go. If we want to make this study to work, we have to go down this route. But we have to fine-tune this distinction a little bit. You almost have to prove to me that Lach, Balach, and Yavish Rosh are really working in different ways. I need a good proof. Don't bring me a Ramoth, Mochus Pesach. It's not going to do a trick for me. I want something that's going to be almost like the clincher. That Lach, Balach is really Kamanda Leisa, and Yavish Rosh is really Kamanda Isa. And that's the root of the distinction. Can you think of something that's going to point in that direction? Some halacha that's going to point in the direction that's going to convince me beyond the shadow of a doubt that lach balach is really, really bottled, done, finished, gamanu, story over, end of book, end of an era, end of a millennium. The story is over. Yavish b'yavish, it's still also. Anyone give me a good halacha that could possibly prove that? The Yehuda looked at one thing. He looked at time. He looked at permanence versus temporary. The Yehuda, if you saw inside the tshuva, I put the tshuva on the cameras. The Yehuda said, ask yourself one question, says the Yehuda. Is Bittul here to stay? Or is Bittul here today, gone tomorrow? If Bittul is here to stay, once something is misbatel, it's done, it's history, it's gone, it's finished, that is very, very much in sync with saying that the Isser is what? It's gone. It's gone. It's not going to resurge. It's not going to come back to Yeshmiah. It's gone. If the Isser is gone forever, then it's gone now. If the Isser is in such a manner that it's bottle now, but to be determined tomorrow, each and every day we have to reassess the Shiloh. So then wait a second. When you're reassessing that Isser, that means you haven't closed the book yet. It means the story's not over yet. I mean, you still have a potential revolving door here. You have a Dover also here. Right now, you have no reason to say you can't do it, but tomorrow you may have a reason. So the fact that something is permanent, the fact that something is temporary, may be almost a simon as to what the very nature of the Bittul is. Is the Bittul really command the Leisa, ultimately command the Isa? So the real question, says the Nebuchadnezzar, we have to focus on is Bittul here forever, or is Bittul subject to being revoked? And says the Nebuchadnezzar, in a startling statement, therein lies the difference in Yavish, Yavish, and Lach, Balach. Now, I should hear some wheels turning on that one. Chos Veneer should be a pretty important factor to test this Nebuchadnezzar. We know a little bit about Chazanir, not enough yet, but a little bit about it. So hopefully Hashem, tomorrow we have to take apart this Nedev Yehuda, because again, according to Nedev Yehuda, this is the Nekuda that's going to differentiate our sugya from the Gemara Kedushin. According to Hefter Rishon, there's no need to differentiate the same thing. Alei Mivat Lachlizness of the Raisa, according to some Rishon, they're saying different things. What is that difference? Okay, so Rabbi said we have barely scratched the beginning of the surface of the sugya, but all we have to spend a lot of time in the Gemara, because the Gemara, it's the Shachmatai of the Gemara, that's a springboard for everything we're going to talk about. Let's hear it tomorrow. Thank you.